Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
Is this a song?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Is this guy gonna... More special.
God damn, that's a
muscle head. Oh no. Did you find another muscle head to who's recorded a song? Oh my goodness. Oh man.
Hallelujah.
Oh gosh.
DJ Muscle Boy.
Who needs jingle bells when you have dumbbells?
Drop the bass, Jesus.
What?
Yes.
Jesus is dropping the bass?
Yes, he is.
Nice. Jesus could go a little harder on the bass for
this
me?
This is Christian muscle music.
Is it really?
I don't know.
It sounds like.
Jesus Christ, drop the
bass. It is.
Jesus Christ,
it
drop
is
the bass.
Jesus muscle music. Oh man, I wish you could hear this.
All I want for Christmas is a hot celebrity body.
Did he say all he wants for Christmas is a hot celebrity body?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And the video was Matthew McConaughey taking his shirt off. Said Jesus died for our sins.
Oh my gosh, it's Christian muscle music.
This
no,
is it.
Christian
this is
muscle
it.
Dance music. Wow.
Yeah. God damn, that's a muscle.
Here comes Jesus.
But he said, damn,
with that
isn't
bass.
That bad?
Huh?
He said, way. He's saying, goddamn way. Isn't that bad as a Christian?
Who cares?
All I want for Christmas is a healthy body.
All I want for Christmas is a healthy body. Wow. Jesus, drop the bass.
Jesus Christ.
All right, let's start the show.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to the Chonilla Podcast. My name's Clove.
And I am Shirley, a.k.a. Rocky Jones, and you're listening to the Chonilla Podcast, the personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences.
Hey, yo. That was really good.
Thank you.
Did you pray for your hot celebrity body this year?
No, but what's...
Oh my goodness, it is Saturday, January 25th.
Are you new?
Yes, I am. Saturday, January 25th, 2020 at 2:45 p.m.
In the motherfucking Eastern Time.
All right.
So my AKA today?
Yes.
Is Burnley Allen Rocky Jones from, he is an ONS lawyer and Black Canadian activist. If you don't know what an ONS is, it is someone of an order of Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And like I mentioned, lawyer and Black Canadian activist. He was born August 26, 1941 in Truro, Nova Scotia. He died back in July 29th in 2013. Jones spent much of his life fighting for social justice for Black and Indigenous people in Canada.
I love that guy.
He was a strong voice in the areas of human rights, race, and poverty. And as a lawyer, Jones focused his attention in these areas, also advocating for prisoners' rights. Here's something he shared. He said, "The prejudices and the discrimination and the racism that I have faced over my lifetime could have made me a hater," he said in 2012. "But my beginnings growing up in a small Black community filled me with such love and compassion for others that hate was impossible for me to internalize."
All right.
That is Mr. Burnley Allen Rocky Jones.
Thanks for sharing that.
You're very welcome.
That's really good. Are you ready for the word?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Okay. What's the word?
Okay. The word.
Word of the day.
The word is aplomb.
Okay. Let me try to spell that.
Or pronounced aplomb.
Aplomb. Is it spelled A-P-L-U-M? No?
No.
Wait. Let me try again. A-P-L-A-U-M?
No.
Aplomb?
Mm-hmm.
Aplomb. Aplomb.
Yeah, aplomb.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want the context?
Oh, we have to guess what aplomb means.
Do you want the context?
Like round? Something that's red and round?
No.
I'm like way off.
So the context is exchanges like the following, which occurred whenever she was invited to lecture, she handled with aplomb.
Say that again.
Exchanges like the following, which occurred wherever she was invited to lecture, she handled with aplomb.
She handled with care.
Ooh.
Am I close?
You're very close.
Yeah?
Yes.
What does it mean? What? You say very close and you're going to troll me and it's totally off.
No.
It probably means like she didn't give a fuck.
No, it is, aplomb means...
With meticulousness.
It means great coolness and composure under strain.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to handle this with aplomb.
So according to vocabulary... .com. Aplomb is the ultimate test for cool, grace under pressure. Use aplomb to show great restraint under even the most trying circumstances in retail. It's always a good idea to handle the angry customers with aplomb.
I like that. I'm going to use that. Aplomb, that is a word I will use.
Very cool. So synonyms are assuredness, cool, poise, calm, calmness, composure.
Aplomb.
Mm-hmm.
Love, you are always a plum compared to me.
That's not true.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
If you had to compare to this beautiful, voluptuous, black, Haitian, Canadian woman, you are 100% a plum.
Agreed.
A plum.
Agreed.
How's your week? How was
it? Pretty
good. It's been a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a...
There's been a lot going on. A
lot going on. New Year holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I was sick.
News with the studio?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I was sick from the day of my birthday, the 23rd, all the way till like the new year for good at least 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, I think you caught that flu.
That was a nasty flu, but at least it wasn't the coronavirus virus?
I don't know.
Flu, whatever flu's going around over there.
I'm just starting to hear about it.
Yeah. So at least it wasn't that, but it felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it felt like that. Ugh. If birds have flu and it feels like that, I wouldn't want to be a bird.
That's so funny.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck them birds.
You mean to tell me that I'm going to feel these kind of flu in comparison to fly?
Yeah, no, you're done.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, no.
Like, do I want to fly, but I know I'll sometimes have these kind of symptoms of flu?
No, thanks. No, thanks.
I could hear someone saying, "Shirley, you're so stupid right now." You're so stupid.
I can hear people's eyes rolling.
Absolutely. my week was I'm trying not to beat myself up too much because ever since I got sick, my workout has fallen behind. I haven't been really on top of that.
Yeah, you mentioned that last time we spoke, yeah.
And then also now this news of we have to leave.
Oh yeah,
this beautiful studio space.
Yeah, it's no longer going to be home of the Chonilla recordings.
Coronavirus flu. That's what it's called. This one, Cali. It's bird flu.
Whatever.
we have to leave the space sooner than we expected. I mean, we kind of had some hints that, you know, there are going to be some changes with the owner, but thinking that maybe we'd have more time, like maybe by around, you know, the beginning of summer or something like that. But we got 10 days to get the funk out of here. So now we're just going to be in a state of transition and we'll be moving our stuff. We're going back to the old school, how we started Chonilla in the first place.
Are we?
Yeah.
I thought we were looking for a space.
We're looking for a space, yes. Yeah. So if you hear this show and you're in the GTA and you got an office or space for us to rent, hey, hit us up at chonillalove@gmail.com. But in the meantime, we're going back in the old school in terms of like how we started when we podcasted out of our bedroom.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's going to be fun. So we'll just roll
over. Fun-ish.
Fun-ish. We'll just roll over off the bed and just go straight like on the mic. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. It was nice having a studio space to be creative in, but know. You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. But we saw two places today.
Mm-hmm.
One place that's so cute that we fell in love. It used to be like
a tattoo parlor.
A tattoo parlor. Yeah. And then there's a little room, like two offices at the back. And then the main entrance, which I guess that's where it was the main tattoo studio space.
Yeah.
And fell in love with it. But, you know, price wise, we're like, that's a little pricey. And then we went to see the second place. Oh, my gosh. That second place, though, it's like serial killer. Like, it's at the back of a house, first of all. Like...
Yeah, it's some kind of like it's like a giant garage, like somebody's giant garage
with like a second. Yeah, you're
with
right.
With a second floor in there.
With a second floor, and then the second floor. Did you feel good standing on there?
No,
absolutely
not. When we were up there, I was thinking to myself,
"I'm gonna fall through."
Yeah, or like I was thinking about late nights, working late nights, and I was like, "F that." F this place, man. No way.
Right by a gas station, right across, and an alley.
In the back alley of a gas station.
Right.
Come
we enter
on.
A back alley of
yeah.
a back
station. Come on.
Yeah.
No. You should have seen the floodlights that were above the doorway. I was like, okay, those are giant floodlights. Cool, but.
What does that
giant
mean?
Giant floodlights. Yeah.
Giant floodlights mean something. And then good call. Good.
Wow, and the roof was caving in.
The roof was caving in.
Oh, my God.
And then the stairs
it
was.
It smelled like moisture in there. It was crazy.
The stairs was rusty as hell.
There was no railing on it.
There's like, no railing. Like, yeah, it was like nothing but. This is a bad horror movie where, like, if you do one bad fall, your head would go through the whatever was sticking out of the stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I can't have my kids here.
Yeah, I don't know what that place was used for before, man, but it looked like maybe some kind of photo studio or something.
He
but...
said it used to be. I saw the sign. It was like they did electricity and.
Oh, maybe those were drafting. Tables then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know,
sense.
But
that
like they do air ducts and air conditioning and heating kind of stuff. That's it was that kind of mom and pops.
It felt very murdery.
And then he goes, I'm like, so when you turn on the heat, does it get nice and heated up here? You know it doesn't.
I don't buy that bull.
He's like,
it's working now.
When it works.
When it works. He said it's not working now, but if you were to take the place, we'd have it working.
Like, dude,
what?
Don't have your dad show that place.
Get out of here.
Because that is just, it's so bad. So bad. Oh.
And then I started asking him about TMI and everything like that. And he's like, what? That's too technical. And I'm like, okay.
He had no idea. Oh, that was scary. And then the bottom of the stairs is being held by this white bucket in the corner. I was like, no.
Oh, yeah. The spiral staircase was rusted all the shit.
There was no railing.
The rebar that's used to hold a railing that's not there anymore was sticking up. And there was like some of them had some covers on them and some of them didn't.
No, they weren't covers. They were black duct tapes.
Well, yeah, to cover it. But I know what you mean. Like it wasn't like there's... Yeah, like a store-bought cover for them or nothing like that. It was terrible.
It's an accident security
oh
prone.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible.
Yeah, no.
I was telling you, like, it reminded me of that place we went in Verdun where the landlord, you could tell, is, like, a drinker, like, hardcore drinker.
Hits the sauce, yeah.
He hits the sauce. His nose is like a balloon.
Oh, yeah.
All red.
Yeah.
You know, like... Like, remember the old school Coca-Cola?
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's always caused by alcoholism, though.
No, not... Well, I don't... And for the most part, I think so.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Okay. I could be wrong.
It just made... His nose made me think of... Remember the old school Coca-Cola Santa Claus? And his nose was red? I don't know. I was obsessed with looking at his nose.
His nose was red, or was it like
it looked
cold?
Like an
it
alcohol.
Cold, right?
It looked like Santa drank alcohol.
Really?
His cheek was red and his nose was red. I'm like,
oh my God.
Damn, Santa's an alcoholic. Okay. All right, Santa. I mean,
excuse me.
Coke, I should say, Coca-Cola. Yeah, it reminded me of that place in Verdun where it's like...
It was terrible. That was the most disgusting place I've ever looked at, ever. Ever. Okay,
well, that place we went to see today beats that place. No.
I don't know.
Because the one in Verdun was like open concept. It wasn't like, it didn't look too murderish. It didn't look like serial killer haven kind of place to stay or have a business in or something. I don't know. Anywho.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's been our week. How's that? Did you share how yours has been?
Yeah. I need a new phone number.
Why?
Because I had a telemarketer call me this week, and she was like, she introduced herself, and then she started going in about how she was following up on my interest.
What?
In financial planning and financial management and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, that was my reaction. So I was like, right away, I was like, no, thanks. I'm not interested in pursuing this call.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, why not? And I'm like, well, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
So she's like, what's so time consuming? Is it your job? Is it your lifestyle?
Are you joking?
Not even kidding.
Yeah. She's like, what's so time consuming? Ma'am, you called me at 12. You didn't even, even at 12. What time did she call you?
It was like lunch had just started. So maybe like a quarter after 12 or something. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to call me on my me time? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. So she goes, so then I tell her like, yeah, you know, that's really none of your business, you know, why I don't have time. And, I'm not interested in pursuing this call.
Yeah.
So she goes, well, maybe you shouldn't put your details on the internet if you don't want to get calls.
Yo, are you kidding me?
Not even joking. Yeah.
Where's your now you gotta scrounge the internet.
So I said, where exactly on the internet are you getting my details? And she hung up right away. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm gonna scrub the internet now for you.
So I call the number that had called me, like I call it back.
Nice.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm still wowed. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
So when I call that number back, I get a voice message and it asks me if I'm interested in like a Caribbean cruise. Yeah. So to press 1 if yes and 2 if no.
Oh my God.
So I hung up and I call back this time. I get a message saying I contacted them outside of their business hours and that I should call them back.
So they saw that you called back.
I guess.
And they put a stop to it.
Or it could be all automated.
For the voicemail.
I don't know.
No, they saw.
I don't know.
They saw. Wow.
Yeah. So then like 5 minutes later, I get a really sketchy phone call with like one of those like bot voices, like those robot voices, talking about how my social insurance number is being revoked and I got to call this number.
And
my number is like trash.
Oh my God. You need to
so that was part of my week.
You need to report that phone number to the RCMP.
Oh yeah,
because the fact you called and it said Caribbean cruise, then you called back and it's this like scam of like your social insurance, that's concerning. You need, I think there's an area you can go to, internet fraud, RCMP. If you just Google that, you'll be able to find their information and say, hey, this is what's happened.
Okay.
And
well, I haven't lost anything, so I think I'm good.
Yeah, but
I'll follow up with it.
They're calling people and they're just looking for, you know, it's a numbers game for them. Eventually they'll lend to someone
who will,
that they'll use.
Yeah, you want to take a break?
Yes. In the news, honey.
Are we doing the news already?
Yeah.
Okay.
News, news. I like news, 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 news. What is in the news? Yay, the news is not bad.
I just want to say shout out to Sylvie. Hi, Sylvie. Hi, Kelsey. Hi, Quinn. Hi, Lisa. Zoe. Yes.
And what's up to Callie?
Callie Winter, our doggy dog, our ride or die. he said, so they don't really need a person physically dialing things. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess you put in, yeah, if you get a database, you put in a machine, yeah, and it just starts cold calling.
Yeah, you just press a button like you're ready for the next call, and then bam.
Yeah, he said to make the whole this so much easier for those scammers.
Yikes.
In the news, if you go into the group, because I shared this in the group.
Okay.
It's so there's a show called Love Don't Judge in the UK.
Okay.
I don't know if you were in the group where you saw that the couple there.
Love,
I'm 18.
Yes.
He's 48.
Yep.
Now we have twins.
Shirley.
Did you watch the whole video?
I couldn't. I didn't even watch the video at all.
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No,
okay.
Thanks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So. Okay.
Next time, tag me and say, Clove, watch this.
To its entirety. So love.
Put some toothpicks on your eyeballs.
Right? Okay. So the show, it's a couple who has a 30-year age gap and insist that their love is the real deal loving machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they have baby twins to prove it. So
having twins doesn't prove your love.
Right. So while many of their peers are many of her peers are finishing senior year and decided on what college to go to, 18-year-old Tamaja is already a mom to baby twin girls and living in a countryside home with its own library and lakeside views. Tamaja lives with her partner Marcus, so she's 18. As well as a medley of cats and dogs, but her parents haven't come to visit her at all. He is age 48. Marcus is older than both Tamaja's mother and father.
Wait.
Yeah.
Rewind.
Yes.
Selecta, what's happening right now?
Marcus, her husband and baby father is older than her. Tamaja's mother and father. So Tamaja conceived when she was 17. He spoke to her and checked her out when she was 16 years old. And in the video, she said. Marcus met her when she was 16. And she said. Okay. So the legal age of consent where she lives is. That's the legal age of consent, actually, 16. Where she lives is 17.
17.
Yes. So what she said is.
And there's no 17, you have to be at least 2 years within there. Nothing like that,
I don't know. But she said that. So she met Marcus when she was 16 while at a grocery shopping trip to Walmart with her grandmother. Okay. And Tamaja noticed an older man looking at her. She said, I was 16 when he approached me and I told him I was 18. But when you look at the video and you see pictures of her at 16, bruh, yeah, you didn't know she was 16.
I wrote this and I saw that comment about her lying about being 16.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he was totally hoping she was lying.
Yeah.
Like when she says she's 18, he's inside. He's like, yeah, I hope she's lying. I hope she's younger.
Yeah. All my friends and my boys are going to think I'm the Don for not only having a young wife or girlfriend, but a black young wife.
What's wrong with me that I don't see how this can work? What's wrong with me that I don't see that they can have anything on par intellectually to talk about?
Right.
Like, how is he not promoting her going to school?
Right. So... he said that after he found out in the video that he put a pause to it. Your pause wasn't that long, my friend.
He put a pause to it?
Yeah. They paused. They both paused. Like, they're like, you know, let's pause now that I know you're 16. And we're just going to, you know, kind of pause on our relationship until.
I'm not buying that.
I'm not at all. You're 18 and you have. Come on. Oh, sorry. There's a picture in the video. Did you see? Where there's a picture where he's like, she takes a selfie with him.
You know what? I said I didn't watch the video. I did. I remembered. This is the
part where I could
kiss. The part that I tuned out and I was like, I'm not even going to watch the rest of this was when they kissed. As soon as they kissed, I was like, yep, nope.
I had to pause 2-3 times because I paused when there was a picture of them taking a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's laying on the bed and he's laying kind of on top of her. Clearly, you could tell they both don't have their shirt on in the picture. And she looks not 18. Like, she looks like a baby. She looks 17. And he looks... I can't even talk because just...
Yes. I feel my intestines like squeezing and knotting up. It's gross.
And so she said that.
Am I being too judgmental?
No,
right now?
She's like, I didn't want to like scare him off because of my age. After going on a date, Tamaja knew she had to come clean, only to chicken out again. And she said that she was 17. So okay, so then a couple of more dates
so
later,
they're seeing each other.
Yeah. So a couple more dates later, and Marcus found out the truth. He said, "When I learned that Tamaja was 16, it obviously came as a surprise, bruh. Really? Come on.
It came as a surprise.
You have the privilege of having sight, but you didn't see.
But listen to how coded that language is. It came as a surprise. That could be a good surprise, right?
Yeah." It puts you.
I was so surprised.
Not only they came at a surprise, he says, it puts you in a tough position because here's a girl that you really like, that you want to spend time with, but now you have to also think of it from the whole legal aspect of, well, can I? She was only a month away from her 17th birthday. So we just kind of put the brakes on things for a little bit and then move forward after that. Once she hit the legal age of consent.
Because he's such a law-abiding citizen that we don't need to worry about.
After not seeing each other for a month, their relationship quickly accelerated with Tamaja's surprise pregnancy coming just 5 months after they started seriously dating. While Tamaja still takes the twins to her old family home, Marcus has never gone with her. Hell yeah, Marcus, you can't go with her because you're going to get a punch in the face.
That's right.
You know full well.
That's right.
You wrong.
Wow.
And so, like many protective parents, they have expressed concerns about Tamaja's dating a man 30 years old, older than her. And the twins approach their first birthday later this year. The couple admit it would be too difficult to have a family party, but hope with time, the situation will improve.
So when he was 30,
yes,
she was exiting her mom's vagina.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you put it that way.
Yeah. A 30-year-old grown-ass man in the delivery room.
Ew.
Yeah. That's like, what the fuck? How? I feel like my reaction reminds me of times when I'm being completely ignorant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah.
This to me seems not right.
Do you think this interracial couple will last?
No.
What makes you think that? Like,
She doesn't know what she wants. She hasn't had a chance.
Yeah. It's so funny you say that because
she hasn't had a chance to make a decision like he's had a chance to make a decision.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this kind of commitment when you have like he's got like 30 years of like life.
Yes.
Before making this commitment.
Yes. Yes.
It seems insanely selfish to the point of it being predatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's so, I can't remember how we were talking about this with the girls, but I think we're talking, I think the word pedophile came up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we explained to the best that you know, for their age range.
Yeah.
What it is.
Yeah.
Who that is.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how social media, it's important that we check what you're doing because you're still young. And as much as I feel us as parents, we talk, there's a lot of parents who keeps that information away from their, this is the all constant struggle that I have.
Okay.
For me anyway.
I'm listening.
How much do you share with your kids? Because I'm a strong believer that knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. It really is. Knowledge protects you.
Yep.
Knowledge is, it helps you make better decisions. Mm-hmm. And when you are young, the thing with pedophiles, it's banking on, and that's what we said with the girls, like I can find like, okay, if you are using this social media platform and we ask you like, okay, it's only your friends, you cannot accept other people to be friends with you on these platforms, right, or whatever, because right. You don't know who these people are.
Right.
But also,
you need to know these people.
Yeah. Because we're talking, so our girls had Instagram accounts, but we told them like delete, delete, delete. So they deleted the accounts.
Okay.
And so,
why did they have them in the first place? So they could contact their friends they were in the contact, class, right?
Yeah. Okay. The whole school, their friends and, gotcha. And the whole, it was very like, the kids from their class had it and they all shared each other and they had like their group within, right?
Sure.
Instagram. And then after a while it's like, no, get rid of it because, you know, kids are kids and they're all about like wanting to have followers.
Are
and
they?
Of course, young. So anyway, the accounts got deleted and we were talking about like what, I don't even know how the subject of the pedophile, I think we were watching something, the word came up and then they were wondering what's a pedophile kind of thing, right? Right. So we explained, and then, and what I mentioned.
Was I there?
Yes, you were there.
Okay.
And then, so I talked to the girls, like to all the kids, that the thing is, as we could tell you as much as we can about what things are and who, that there are people like who are pedophiles, who they are, whatever.
Right.
And we can, we feel like, I feel like we talk, we share a lot more than maybe most parents because I strongly, as a person who have been a victim of abuse, I know the number one reason that I couldn't gauge things is because nobody spoke to me.
Right.
Nobody educated me. Nobody gave me information. Mm. So I was a prime, beautiful, like, you know what I mean? I'm the prime, naive prey for people like that, mm-hmm. because I reek of I have no idea.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's another aspect I realized when I spoke with them too. You can talk to your kids as blue in the face and be dead honest about what or about the world and how it looks like. The thing is that they're still young. And when you're young, you don't have experience. Mm. You haven't lived enough to kind of gain the experience, understand patterns of when someone is taking advantage of you, when someone's lying to you, when someone's trying to control you. So your parent, as a parent, you could say, you could talk to your kids and do as much as you can for them. But the bottom line is,
they just don't have the reality to connect it to the.
They don't have the experience to kind of see those things.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying to the girls. This is why you have to delete these accounts. You don't have the experience to see the patterns when someone is tricking you or taking advantage of you. Mm-hmm. And then that's the same thing in that situation too.
Or the tools on how to combat it.
Or to understand that there's a power dynamic here.
Yeah.
Because now you're in a relationship with someone who's really much, who has 30 years experience ahead of you in on life.
Yeah.
Who can probably choose to share with you or not share with you.
Mm-hmm.
As you know what I mean, in terms to controlling you, not share that much with you, and you have no idea because you're only 18 years old and you only have 18 years of life experience.
I hear you.
There's certain things that you have no idea about. Look how much things that we're still learning, and we're in our 40s.
I know.
That we had
it's embarrassing.
No freaking idea. Yeah. But it's not embarrassing.
No, I hear you.
And there's
I
people who are our age who knows even less than us.
I hear you.
So that's why when I was watching the video and they're like, oh, he even said the line, age ain't nothing but a number. I was like, oh my gosh, no. Like, dude, you have an upper hand all the time, regardless when it comes to life experience.
Predator's anthem.
Yeah. Anywho, that's what made me think. And
well, I wanted to follow up because you said something about how much do you tell your kids, like how much when they, you know, how much do you keep from them? How much do you tell them, you know? And what I wanted to say is that I want my kids to trust me.
Yeah.
And if I tell them stuff that yes. they wind up finding on their own is not true,
yeah.
that's going to erode that trust.
Yeah. Do you know what
I mean? So I would rather them like hear something from me and then have something out in the world confirm it.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, you know, okay, I can trust my, when I ask my dad a question, he's going to be honest all the
yes.
time.
Yeah.
And that to me is what's most important.
Yeah.
So it's a balancing act, right? Like obviously there's some information that, you know, is age appropriate.
Right. Some right? information you just, exactly, but, that you say.
But as long as you're honest
more
and
in
say.
Depth in that, and we've done that.
When you're older, yeah.
Yeah. We've said like, this is on how much I can share, I can say.
Yeah.
But when you are older, I can get more in depth in terms of, you know.
Yeah. This is not an age appropriate conversation. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
But yeah, for me, number one thing, kids need to trust me.
Yeah.
I'm ready to take a break?
Sure.
That sounded like you were speaking Chinese.
Sure.
She sure. Okay. What do you got in the news?
What else in the news? In the news.
Wait, did you already do a news?
I did.
Okay.
What's yours?
Okay. So there's a two-spirit doctor in, yes, where are they? In Edmonton, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Their name is Dr. Makokas.
Makokas.
Yes. And he's helping guide trans teenagers in exploring what it means to walk in two worlds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So his name is Dr. James Makokas. And they treat young transgender people and teach them about being two-spirit. And if you're not familiar with the term two-spirit, it's an umbrella term used by many Indigenous LGBT plus people that dates back to pre-colonial third gender roles.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing before colonialism kicked in, not just in like Indigenous lands, like in the Americas, but in China, India, so many places, even in Africa where you have old scripts, I guess, or stories of how much trans people were accepted in many societies before, white Christian reality kicked in through colonialism, and how I'm being nice about it, and this is like the nicest word, verbiage, and how they were. In so many of these countries, like in Africa and Asia and all that stuff, how trans people were like seen as consultants.
Right.
Because they were able to have the two point of views.
Oh, my goodness.
As a male and a woman, you know, to provide whenever there was conflict, they would step in to be the conflict neutral.
The
you know
judges,
what I mean? Not the judges, but to kind of give you a third perspective.
Sure.
Because a trans person in their community had like can see the female and the male perspective
right.
into a situation and kind of give you. So it's fascinating when you learn that kind of stuff and you're like, damn you, colonialism!
It's like a giant eraser.
Colonizers!
Just erases shit. Yeah.
Rooting everything.
So Dr. Makokas holds an event called a two-spirit sweat. And during a two-spirit sweat, the group takes turns sharing stories of coming to understand the meaning of two-spirit and finding a community to support them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. There's currently no survey data on the number of LGBT plus or two-spirit people in Canada. Sean Waite and Nicole Denier, assistant professors of sociology, estimate the number of Indigenous LGBT plus people as between 39 and 100,000.
39 and 100,000?
Between 39 and 100,000. That's the estimation of LGBT plus Indigenous folks.
Where? In Canada? Or?
Yeah, Canada. Yeah.
Oh, that's only Canada.
Yeah. Canada's 2016 census counted nearly 1.7 million Indigenous people, which translates to approximately 4.9% of the population in Canada.
Hmm.
And from what I've read, Two-Spirit people describe their identity as being able to cross or being able to access the masculine and feminine within them to walking in both male and female worlds. The term Two-Spirit was coined in 1990 at a Native American First Nations gay and lesbian conference in Winnipeg, Canada.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else?
Yes. So you know the whole Meghan Markle, Prince Harry situation.
Yes.
What do you know so far?
I know they said
I'm not gonna
we're done with
it,
this bullshit and we're trying to move someplace else.
What do you think about all this? Like, do you think that they... Because I'm hearing that they made the decision kind of like on their own and it's after the family, like the queen and the rest of the family kind of had to huddle together and be like, what the hell? What's going on? And then later they're like, we support their decision, but although we support them, we're going to remove the title from them. So does that mean he's no longer Prince Harry? Like, he's
I have no
just
idea
Harry?
How all that works.
And
excuse me.
And that, you know, they also have to, the couple's home that they refurbish with public money, they have to give that money back.
Okay.
So that's what I'm hearing. But
So they're basically taking out a loan against the money of the UK to get set up somewhere else, and they got to pay it all back.
Well, when they first were, you know, after they got married,
yeah.
They did a whole renovation in a home. Mm. I think it cost like $2.5 million or something like that.
Gotcha.
And so now, because they use public money, they have to kind of give that money back.
Okay.
Yeah, because it wasn't like money out of their pockets.
Okay.
Right? So, it's been like in the, you know, Megxit, that's what they're calling it and everything. But because of this, it's created to Meghan Markle now is a verb meaning to value yourself and leave situations.
Yes.
Somebody made it like in past tense to Meghan Markle. It's to value yourself and mental health enough to up and leave a room / situation / environment in which your authentic self is not welcome or wanted.
I love it.
Meghan Markle.
Oh man, yes. That's great.
So like they give for like, where's Ryan? Oh, he Meghan Markle.
Good for him.
Yes.
Good for him.
I love it.
He deserves it.
Yes. And she's getting so much support as by like black celebrities or people. I think it's amazing because, man, that girl was judged.
Oh my God. I can't even begin to.
Just because the sheer of her existence.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Mm-mm. She couldn't even hold that baby right. Mm-mm. That they judged. They said some shit about her, their baby, too. It's insane. And you know what?
I didn't even know they had a baby.
Yeah.
But okay.
They had a baby. His name is Archie.
Okay.
And
it's very British.
Yes. With a hint of blackness.
Sure.
You know, and so she... Like, she couldn't do anything right. Like, it's that double bind that you're talking about. You can't do nothing right. You can't do nothing wrong.
And I can't even imagine what the language is like. Like, bloodlines. Like, it's like
The
microaggressions must be just fucking, because it's so, it's like a palace of privilege, right? It's like anything you want is there. You're right all the time.
Ugh. And then, Harry struck me as a type. This is Cal, you're saying. Harry struck me as a type, that low-key didn't want to be much a part of the whole royal family mess anyway. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I could see Harry.
I'm out, y'all.
Yeah, well, Harry never been like, he's always doing his own thing.
I'm glad you were following him because I was not.
But
crisis alert.
But you know what? The other thing I can see is that he could probably, because he was born in it.
Right.
He was born in.
Right.
Not only all this mega privilege, right?
Yeah.
But also that very thing that brought down, like, that took, like, his mother. And so
right.
I could see how he sees the way the tabloid is going on with his wife.
Yeah.
And see the pattern, like, oh, shit, nah. Like, this is... What's, and his wife is like, this place is too much
for me. What I think is shameful...
But hold on. Yeah, and then Harry could be like, to Meghan, like, no, Meghan, I totally understand. I recognize the patterns that they were doing with my mother. And I completely support you,
right,
Megan.
Right.
Like, I could...
Yeah.
He could... I really think that he could foresee that, no, this is... I recognize this. This gets ugly. And I don't want to not... I lost my mother from this. I'm not going to lose my wife over this.
Good for him.
You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, Rory's... I cut you off.
I just think it's shameful that they aren't, like, trying better to keep them.
The family?
Yeah. It's almost like they're saying, like, you know what? I don't think this is for us. And they're like, okay, fine. Bye. Bye. Don't, you know, let the doorknob hit you on the way out. Bye.
But what if, like.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, okay, yeah. let's try and. Okay.
I see
maybe
what you
they
mean.
Did,
the
but
queen
it was
could
probably.
Have a say.
Maybe they did, but it was probably, like, along the terms of, you know, you have to do it this way. And she was, like, non-compromising in the term of, like, It had to deal with dignity and stuff like that. And it's just like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And they probably saw that as like, oh, well, we tried to work with her. So bye. She can leave.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm. And then the queen could, you know, get out of her queendom and this.
They could totally support
and
this
she
relationship.
Could have, like,
yeah.
Okay, we lost somebody because of y'all bullshit.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do this
yeah.
again. You, like,
are they taking the position of, well, like, well, that's a good idea because, yeah, you know, every time we have an outsider come in, something bad happens. Is that their position? Like, why are they not taking the position of, like, no, we need to make sure that you stay and that you get what you need and that we'll hear what you have to say and we'll make it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, she was dealing. And then
they're just like, see ya.
The cousin.
Thanks for coming out.
Who put a brooch that was supposed, yeah. like, representing, like. Some pretty racist shit.
Oh my
like,
God.
Like it has a whole racist messaging behind the
that's
brooch.
Horrible.
It's like
that's horrible.
Yeah.
Speaking of horrible.
Yes.
Terry Gilliam isn't shy about being a complete asshole.
Who's Terry Gilliam?
Terry Gilliam and the
Fight
reason,
Club.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I thought you were.
The reason that I bring this up is because Terry Gilliam directed a lot of the Monty Python stuff. And he also did a lot of the animation stuff, right?
Okay.
Like, you know how you see, like, animation in Monty Python?
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, that was his work.
Okay.
So he was interviewed by The Independent, and this is just one of the terrible things he had to get off his chest when he was talking about the Me Too movement.
Okay.
He said, I don't understand why people behave as if this hasn't been going on as long as they've been powerful people. I understand that men have had more power longer, but I'm tired as a white male of being blamed for everything that is wrong with the world. He held his hands up and said, I didn't do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's really tired of hearing about the, you know, how privileged he is from people of color.
I heard a guy, a British dude, I don't know if he's a musician.
Fucking asshole, man.
And he said
like,
the same
thing. To me, it's a little bit heartbreaking because it's like, fuck, like, wow.
About Terry Gilliam?
Yeah.
Did you not see Monty Python?
I know, but seeing this through this lens now is like, this is fucking gross.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Anyways.
If I could like exchange guy. My lens. if I.
You don't want it. It's
if
foggy.
If people could exchange lens, kind of like the movie Strange Days. Remember that movie where you could see people's. Now, if I could do that where you could experience how the world treats me and talks to, like, you know what I mean?
No thanks.
You'd be like, oh my God. You'd be out for like a week, I think. Yeah. I think you'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't.
Yeah, get
I
these
need,
fucking
like,
things
a,
off my face.
I need 3 days. Like, you call in sick.
Yeah, I'm done.
Clove, what's wrong? I exchange lens with Shirley and how the world.
I've been seeing the world through a
Shirley's
black woman's
lens.
Eyes.
And I can't. I need 3 days. No, I need 3 days off.
I need to go lie down for like 17 hours.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So that's it for my news.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I have more news. Have you heard of, well, this is actually the last news. Halle Berry. Sharon Stone and Celine Dion.
I swear to God, my brain was like, are we not going to talk about, because you said Halle Berry first, and then you said Celine Dion, and when you said Halle Berry first, I was like, oh my God, we're not going to talk about Celine Dion.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? talking about, Globe?
I just need to brace myself. Go.
No. Okay, so yes, Halle Berry, Sharon Stone, and Celine Dion lead stars are trying the Dolly Parton social media challenge. There's a Dolly Parton challenge, and basically the challenge is you create like this 4-picture collage, and it's like a photo mosaic, and with profile photos of different sites, different social media sites like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, you know, and Tinder. Did you see this? Yeah,
Andrew Searles did one that was pretty funny.
Was he? Yeah. I didn't see it. So it's thanks to I'm telling you, I love Dolly Parton.
Okay.
I always have.
Okay.
And country music, so.
If you could take one on a deserted island, Dolly Parton or Betty White, who would it be?
Dolly Parton.
Okay.
For sure.
Gotcha.
Because Dolly would make songs about this fucked up situation.
Perfect.
That would make me feel more calm and a lot better.
You'd have like, you know, a creative outlet.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Definitely. She'd probably make a guitar out of coconuts. We'd figure it out.
Because she's wicked talented. Go.
She's wicked. Yes. Wicked talented like that. And she seems real strong. I'll just throw her on the ocean and just hang on top of her because she'll just float and we'll just be.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding.
You can't wave away a bad joke by saying I'm kidding. It doesn't work like that, Shirley. I'm
sorry. Did you hear me say what I said? I said what I said.
That's my joke, bitch. You ready to take a break, honey?
Okay. I do have one more piece of news, actually.
Let's do it.
It's kind of sad. Someone has died, a gem for the people of Quebec. She died at the age of 92. Thérèse Tuguay-Dion.
Céline Dion's mom.
Yes. Oh, affectionately man, known to Quebecers as Maman Dion, has died at the age of 92. So rest in peace, Maman Dion. She was a television host and philanthropist. She was, as you know, maybe some of you may not know, but she was the mother of Céline Dion, and she was the mother of 14 children, several of whom had careers in music. Tuguay-Dion played an important role in the life of Céline's music career.
Rewind, Selecta. I think you said 14 children?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Well, as you should have seen, they lived in a little cabin, kind of like, it's like Dolly Parton's family, too. They lived in a little cabin. I think my dad's, were like 7 kids.
My dad had 8 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Back then, like, you just had a lot of kids, man.
Oh, my God.
And so, yeah, 14 kids. She wrote the song Ce n'est pas un rêve, which was Céline's first hit in 1981 when Céline was only 12 years old. Wow. I have a little clip. You want to hear it?
Yeah. Yes. I think I've got you set up. Yeah, go for it.
Let me see if hear it.
Nice. That was
great. Hold on.
That was great,
wow,
honey.
But you have to no. Hold.
Tout à coup, je me suis retrouvée.
I heard 12.
Une harpe, des violons jouaient. Des anges au ciel me souriaient. Le vent faisait chanter.
You just don't want to hear it. Nice. Wow. Okay. And so in 2006, she started her own foundation for the education of disadvantaged children, the Maman Dion Foundation. And Céline Dion posted videos at her concert in Miami about the death of her mother. And she said, Maman, we love you so much, she wrote. We dedicate tonight's show to you, and I'll sing to you with all my heart.
There's no way she said that in English.
Maman, je t'aime beaucoup. Et cette chanson est pour toi, maman.
Perfect.
Okay. So, yeah. R.I.P. Maman Dion. That's it for my news.
Bible scriptures, in 102.1
Thanks for the news, honey.
You're very welcome.
Okay, everybody, this is the part of the show where I share what I've read in the Bible and parody it by regurgitating it as an Aaron Spelling-like melodrama. So last time we heard about Abimelech murdering his 70 brothers, a story about talking trees trying to decide who should be the boss, the curse of Jotham, Abimelech burning 1,000 people hiding in a tower, a woman dropping a millstone on Abimelech's head. You remember all that?
Yeah.
Were you listening?
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
And the players tonight are Jephthah, his brothers, five elders, and the Ammonite king.
And this is what again?
Book of Judges, chapter 11. I call this one Bloodlines.
Oh gosh, that's going to be dramatic.
So cut to a man named Jephthah, who's from a place called Gilead. He has some brothers, except his mom was a sex worker.
Ooh, Jephthah?
Yeah, Jephthah.
Okay. He's like Richard Pryor's life. Okay, got it.
Exactly.
She's really funny.
When Jephthah and his brothers were grown, they all decided... All the other brothers of Jephthah decided that they should kick Jephthah out of the family and cancel any of his inheritances.
Why?
Right. So his brothers were all like, yeah, you need to go, man. Your mother
what?
You gotta go.
Hold on. Isn't that the... Wait. Hold on. Rewind. Yeah. His brothers wanted to kick him out, but don't they share the same mother?
No.
Wait, I'm confused.
No. So they're brothers... But his mom is a sex worker. Like, only Jephthah's mom is a sex worker.
Same father, different mothers.
Correct, Amanda.
So it's like his half-brothers.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
So they kicked him out, and Jephthah packed all his shit and moved to a place called Tob. But as soon as he got there, a group of, like, ruffians started to follow him around.
Why?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
Fade to black. So some time goes by, and the Ammonites were trying to fight Israel.
Okay.
So five elders from Gilead decided to go to a place called Tob so they can find Jephthah and ask him to be their commander to fight the Ammonites.
Why him?
So when they find Jephthah, they're all like, hey, man, how's it going? Me and the boys were wondering if you would consider maybe coming back and being our commander.
Coming back? Wait, he was a commander before?
Yeah, well, no, he wasn't a commander before, but they're asking him to come back to be the commander.
To come back to Gilead?
Yes, to fight the Ammonites.
Okay, but why him?
We'll get into it.
Okay.
Maybe it'll expose it in the story.
Okay.
All right, but you're all caught up.
Okay, yes.
Okay, good. And so they're asking him to come back so he could fight the Ammonite kings. And so Jephthah, you know, he's all like, but you guys kicked me out of my own home.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah.
His brothers are the one who's asking him to come back to fight?
No, just elders from a place called Gilead.
But he's saying, you guys kicked me out of your own home.
Yeah, I guess it's related in the sense that
you're part of a place that I don't want nothing to do because you didn't want nothing to do with me.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Got it. And, it's like how I feel with Montreal. Got it.
Right. And so he's all like, so now you're in trouble and you want my help. So the elders were all like, calm down, let bygones be bygones, like I always say. Look, if you fight the Ammonites for us, we'll let you be the boss of everyone in Gilead. So Jephthah is all like, for real? So if I beat the Ammonites, I'll be in charge of Gilead? And the elders were all like, we swear to God that we will totally obey you after you kick the shit out of the Ammonites. So Jephthah is all like, sounds good.
I wonder what kind of training he had to go through to make sure.
Yeah.
You know, he just thinks about his brothers while he works out.
Like you're talking about a montage.
Yeah. You never knew I'm coming back.
So.
This is for my mother.
Yeah. So once Jephthah got to Israel, he was very well received by the people, and they had no hesitation making him the commander. Jephthah also took a moment for prayer before deciding what his next move would be.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. Got to meditate.
Right. Yeah. Got to sit on this one and think about it.
Think about it. Make plans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Strategies.
Mm-hmm. Action items.
Yes.
So Jephthah decides to send...
Sorry. If I was Jephthah, I would totally work out like that. I'd have a full-on montage. I'll kick butt and lead everybody to win. And then after I win, I kill my brothers. Because, I mean, this is...
You would
is,
fit right into the Bible.
It's pre-Jesus. It's pre-Jesus, so I'm fine. Like, it's not like after Jesus where it's like, ooh, this is really
covenant.
Bad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, where was I?
I Let's totally see. Would fit in.
Let's see here. So, Jephthah decides to send a message to the Ammonite king. Mm-hmm. And it was all like, what the fuck, bro? I don't understand why you're attacking my country. What's the fucking problem? So the Ammonite king responds in a message saying, yeah, when Israel rose up out of Egypt, they came through my land and took it. So if you don't mind, we'd like it back, please. Yours truly, king of the Ammonites. So Jephthah sends another message all like, hey, if King Sihon had just let us pass through peacefully like we asked, we wouldn't have needed to kill him or all the people in town. Mm-hmm. Now everything belongs to us fair and square. And don't lie, you know you would have done the same thing if your trash god Chemosh could give you any land. When our god gives us land, we're gonna take it. And I haven't done anything to you, and you bring this bullshit?
Who's saying that? Jephthah?
Yes.
He's thinking this.
Yes.
Got it.
Sent that to the Ammonite king.
Gosh. Okay. Where he's about to start some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then he finishes out by saying, we'll see what God has to say about this. Then the Ammonite king ghosted Jephthah and didn't reply back. So now Jephthah is all jacked up and ready to fight.
Text messaging God. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, God's DMs are going bling, 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 blowing
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And so Jephthah's all jacked up, ready to fight, and he starts to move in on the Ammonites. And as he's getting ready to fight, he makes a promise to God. He's like, dear God, if you help me kill all the Ammonites, I'll sacrifice whatever comes out of my house when I get back. And I'll make it a burnt offering for you, because I know you like it like that. So Jephthah winds up defeating the Ammonites and destroying 20 towns along the way.
Wow.
Yeah. So he went on like a murder spree. Mm-hmm. Like it was a rampage. And so after killing all the Ammonites, Jephthah went back home and he got to his house.
Please don't let it be a child in the house.
Guess who was the first person to come out
and
greet him?
Don't let it be a child in the house.
It was his daughter.
No!
Yeah.
See, did I say?
Yeah. She came.
And it's a girl.
Yeah. Oh. So she came outside all excited to see her dad, and Jephthah, he didn't have any other kids. This is his only kid. As soon as Jephthah saw her, he remembered his promise and starts losing his shit and tearing. He's tearing off all his clothes.
Of course.
He's all like, no.
I knew it. I was like, what were you?
Yeah, he's like, I promised God I would sacrifice whatever came out of the house when I got back from fighting.
Did he not find out from his ancestors, have a animal in the house if you're going to have kids? At least two, three. Have a cat, a dog. Something else. So his, and a cow.
So his daughter is all like, it's okay. I get it. God helped you beat the Ammonites, so you should do what you promised.
Wait, he told her?
Yeah. He was yelling it. He was like, no, I promised God I would sacrifice whatever came out of us, blah, 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 blah. And she's all like, it's cool. It's totally cool. And so she's like, but now she tells him that she's really sad and that she won't be able to get married. You know what I mean? So she asks, would it be okay if I hung out in the hills with my friends for a couple of months so that we can all be sad about me dying before getting married?
Run.
So, yeah, right. So Jephthah, he lets her go hang out with her friends for 2 months.
And run.
And 2 months later, he sacrifices her as a burnt offering for God.
Oh, he really went through with it?
He really went through with it.
Oh, man.
And from that day on, Israel adopted the tradition where once every year, young women would leave their homes for 4 consecutive days to commemorate Jephthah's daughter.
This is so 9021 no sad. This is so sad.
This is Bible Scriptures 90210. No. Chapter 12. Don't come for me.
Wait, what's her name again?
Jephthah's daughter?
Yeah.
I don't think they give her a name. I think they just call her Jephthah's daughter.
You're not even going to say her name. No hashtags.
Okay. So now.
Jephthah's daughter. R.I.P. man.
We find out that the.
I mean, woman.
That the Ephraimites were pissed at Jephthah because they were saying that Jephthah didn't ask them to help bring the smackdown to the Ammonites.
But wait, hold on. They're mad at him because he didn't bring the smackdown? What more do you want?
No, they're mad at him because he didn't invite them to fight. That's what they're saying, right?
Okay.
So they're all like, since you didn't call on us to come fight with you, we're going to burn your entire house down.
You know what? You have no idea what I just went through.
Yeah.
I just sacrificed my daughter.
Don't
come for me. Because right now, I'm really sad. And you coming at me like this right now? You lucky I'm not freaking cutting you. Sorry.
So, yeah, I know.
That'd be me if I was Jephthah.
You're not alone. Jephthah was all like this. He was all like, wait a minute. I did call on you guys, and you pulled a no-show. So I made an executive decision to go without you, and we won. So what's the problem? So the Ephraimites, are all like, Gilead is nothing but renegades of Ephraim. So now Jephthah gathers all of his soldiers to fight all the soldiers of Ephraim. And
I'm Team Jephthah on that.
And the Ephraimites get their asses handed to them pretty bad.
Yeah.
Then,
as it should.
Then Jephthah goes down to the Jordan River and sets up a blockade. The idea of the blockade is to screen folks trying to get back into Israel to see if they are Ephraimites or not.
Oh.
So he kicked the shit out of all the Ephraimites, and some of them went running. Then he put roadblocks to see if they would come back. And if they came back, it was bad news.
Oh, okay.
So, and the way the screening worked is if you tried to enter, they would ask you if you were from Ephraim. If you said no, they would ask you to say the word shibboleth.
What's that mean?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
If you said sibboleth instead, they would snatch you up and bring you down to the river and kill you.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it was a matter of pronunciation.
Wow.
Yeah. So they winded up killing 42,000 people because of pronunciation.
Because of pronunciation?
Yes.
Oh, man.
From there, Jephthah led Israel for 6 more years until he dies and then is buried in Gilead. So after Jephthah, someone named Ibzan was the boss of Israel. And Ibzan had 60 kids, 30 sons and 30 daughters. She was from Bethlehem and winded up marrying all his daughters to folks who weren't from Bethlehem. After marrying his daughters, he brought back 30 women from outside of Bethlehem to marry his 30 sons. He led Israel for 7 more years until he died and was buried in Bethlehem. Then a cat named Elon was the boss of Israel for like 10 years until he died. Then someone named Abdon led Israel for 8 years until he died. Abdon had 40 sons and 30 grandsons.
That's a lot.
Who used to ride around town on white donkeys. Don't know why that's in the story, but
it's there.
Yeah. So chapter 13, a warrior is born.
What kind of warrior? Samson.
Oh.
Is it Samson? It's Samson!
So we open on a man named Manoah.
Ooh, that's a nice name, Manoah.
Yeah, he was married but wasn't able to have any kids.
Why?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
At the same time, the Israelites are up to no good again. So God put the Philistines in charge of Israel for 40 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
So one night, Manoah's wife was alone. And an angel of God shows up and is all like, I know you can't have kids, but you will. Don't drink any more alcohol or eat anything that's unclean. You're going to give birth to a boy. This boy is going to be a Nazirite and be super into serving God.
So the super into serving God.
So the angel also tells her, just make sure you don't cut any of his hair off and he'll free the Israelites from the Philistines.
Okay.
So there's a plan. There's an action plan in place.
Okay.
So Manoah's wife was all excited and went to tell Manoah what happened. And she was all like, there was this guy who looked like an awesome angel. I have no idea where he's from or what his name is, but he told me to say to stay away from booze and avoid eating unclean things, and I would give birth to a Nazarite. So later that night, Manoah prays to God. Manoah prays to God, and he's all like, "Dear God, you need to chip in on this co-parenting deal. We appreciate you looking out.
Okay.
But I need more help understanding what you need me to do."
Yeah. So I'm laughing because it's like, you know what? I didn't expect that for him to ask.
So God heard Manoah's prayer. And when his wife was alone again, he sent the angel to field some follow-up questions. As soon as Manoah's wife saw him, she went running back to Manoah in a panic and was all like, "He's back. He's back." So Manoah went out to meet the angel and asked him "Are you the guy from the other night my wife was talking about?"
Yes.
And the angel was all like, "Yeah, that's me." So Manoah is all like, "So what's the deal? Are we co-parenting or what?" And the angel
pulls out a briefcase.
The angel is all like, "I already told your wife what she needs to do." So Manoah is all like, "Can you stay for dinner? I cook a mean goat."
Oh boy.
And the angel is like, "Look, I know you invited me to come over and everything, but I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
You can make the goat a burnt offering to God if you want." And at this point,
God loves animal fat.
And at this point, Manoah still doesn't know that he's speaking to an angel. So he thinks he's just speaking to a guy. He's speaking to a guy who his wife told him that he said his wife is going to be pregnant.
Okay.
So it's a thing.
Yeah.
So Manoah starts making small talk and is all like, "So, I'm really looking forward to having a boy. What's your name?" And the angel looks puzzled. And the angel is all like, "What do you want to know my name? Why do you want to know my name?"
He's like, "Nobody."
And he's like,
"I'm just a messenger."
Yeah, you wouldn't understand it anyways. So as Manoah is burning all his burnt offerings, the angel steps into the fire and is lifted into the air all the way until they disappear into the sky.
The angel?
Yes.
Okay.
So when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell down and started crying.
Yeah.
And the way that they knew for sure it was an... And now they knew for sure it was an angel of God.
Okay.
And And the way that they knew that this was a legit angel of God is because it never visited them again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
They saw that miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, and because it never happened again, they were like, that must have been God.
Okay.
So, but then Manoah starts freaking out, and he's all like, "Oh, shit, was that God? Did we just look at God? Are we going to die?"
Oh, right.
And his wife is all like, "Would you calm the fuck down? If God wanted us dead, we'd be dead already." So, let's see.
Don't look at me.
Manoah's wife ended up giving birth to a little boy and named him Samson. God blessed him at a young age. And feels more, and so God blessed him when he was really young, and this helps Samson feel more and more connected to God as he gets older. And that's it for this episode's Bible scripture.
Like a true episode that keeps me in my toes, and I have to listen next week
Fun fact, Samson means man of the sun and is sometimes considered to be an Israelite version of the similarly popular Greek divine hero Hercules, which is also very similar to the Roman divine hero Hercules.
Oh.
Next time we'll hear about everything Samson, which covers the next three chapters.
That makes sense. Oh, interesting. Best plate and the name. Pass plate and donate. Pass plate and donate. Pass plate, you gotta donate. Well, we learn about the book of Judges, chapter 11 to 13.
Yeah.
Ah! and Jephthah was in Gilead.
Yeah.
Moved to Toby and came back. Pass the plate.
Pass that plate, y'all.
We also learned another thing. We learned about this dude Manoah. And his wife was talking to a stranger. The stranger told her, girl, you're going to be pregnant.
Yeah, he kept dirty macking.
And having a son that serves God. Pass the plate.
His name is Samson.
Samson. Go to chonillanetwork.com. Scroll all the way down and just click on make a donation. It'll be super helpful to get the show to keep going and going and going. Email us if there's any questions you have about Bible Scriptures 90210 or any other questions that you have. Something that we said that didn't make any sense or make sense or whatever. ChonillaLove@gmail.com is the email to write to us.
All right.
And yeah, I think that's it for us for the show. I don't have any other, I don't have a list or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm all done.
I'm all done too. If you want to be entertained this weekend, just go on Twitter and type hashtag Dolly Parton Challenge. It's really a fun challenge to see other people's idea of profile pictures for different social media. Email us, as I mentioned before, chonillalove@gmail.com.
Shout out to Callie and Sherazar for hanging out.
Yes. Oh, yes. Bluster Madness. Callie, shout out for hanging in there on the live on Instagram. Follow us if you want to. Hey, we'll have a surprise being on the live. At chonillalove on Instagram is our username. And what else? That's it. We're going to probably take another... We just need some time to kind of set up since we're moving our stuff and going back to the original space where we're going to have our...
Sign up to the newsletter and
stuff.
You'll get all caught up.
We're going to be recording in our Den of Love, which...
Den of Love.
I don't know. Yes. Sign up to the site so that way you'll know when we're live. Thank you so much for listening. It's so good. So, so good to be back. Thank you for... the amazing feedback. We've been seeing some of your reviews. We appreciate it, and we're just excited to be back and continue talking to you right here on the Chonilla Podcast. Talk to you later. Peace. Oh, no. Bye. Fish is here.
My quote tonight.
What's your quote tonight, baby?
Reminder to white people. You will continue to mess up regarding racism, so continue to be teachable. Open to correction and vigilantly monitor yourself for defensiveness and white fragility. You never arrive as an ally. You must continually practice allyship.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, and that was Big Booty Boy on Twitter.
Nice. Thank you, Big. Whoa, whoa.
It's Jackson BBZ.
Thank you, Big Booty Boy. I didn't expect that. Threw me off. All right, guys.
Signing out. I love you, honey.
Love you too, honey.
Bye.
Bye. Talk to you later. Us white people are stupid. Bluster wrote that. Hi, Fish. Hi, Terilyn. Thank you so much, everybody. Terilyn, Callie Winter, always got our back. Thank you for being on the live, you guys. We appreciate it. And with holy Star Trek. So there's sites like reverse-phones.com, and it's like if I type the first like 6 digits of your phone number, and it shows me all the like sequences of your phone number.
Shut up.
Yes. So what they do, what I'm suspecting is they go to sites like this, they get a list of, and they could see who's the carrier of those phone numbers, because it tells me who's the carrier.
Yeah.
It shows me the phone number, the line type, which is if it's wireless or landline. So in this one, it's mostly wireless.
Wow.
And then it tells me the carrier. It tells me the switch, the rate center. I don't know that, which means the city.
Oh my gosh.
Then the state. So in the state, in this case, the province.
Wow.
And so now I have a list of all these, like, if I go through this, at least 50 phone numbers that I can go through.
Oh my goodness.
And just hopefully one will be a sucker. And yeah. That's how they do this.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That is pretty bad.
So they're just like, yeah. It gives them a guarantee doing it like that too, that these numbers are actually existent. So they just kind of go through this.
Right, and it builds a database of numbers that have black people in it.
Yeah, yeah. This is because it's associated with the carrier, right? So.
Gross.
I should start by, oh my, yeah, like look. Oh my gosh. Tells me landline, wireless, carrier. Oh my gosh. I could start a Caribbean cruise line.
A whole thing.
But I'm not that, I'm not shady. I was going to say, I'm not that shady. Yeah. Callie said that Clove's reaction kills me when her name comes up every time.
There's no escaping it. I think I need to go on Maury.
Why?
Because it's a phobia. Celine Dion walks out.
Hello, Clove. ¿Cómo se va? Are you ready for a song? Clove Roy. Chonilla. Should we sing Chonilla? Oh my god.
I swear to god, I thought you were like, so in the news, Halle Berry, and I was like, oh sweet, no. And as soon as my brain said the word Celine Dion, your lips said the word Celine Dion. I was like, shit.
But it wasn't about Celine Dion.
Oh my god. I forget what it was about.
What if she like heard the show and she'd be like totally like, I need to get on this show. Would you?
Sure.
Oh, man.
I think having her in the studio is different than just talking about her.
Yeah.
I think you need like a podcast dedicated to Celine Dion.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Wait, you're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chonilla Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review, I guess.